welcome again to another Blessed Twins Bible Message podcast. This is a special podcast. This was recorded on Friday, Good Friday, 2024. This is the message I gave at the church that evening.
Today's a really important day, right? I mean, today's Good Friday. As I was getting ready for tonight, I went in depth and really studied the crucifixion. And I really studied crucifixions and how people die from crucifixions. And it's pretty intense what somebody goes through. And as I was getting ready, I was going to go through and I was going to talk about the pathophysiology, somebody dying on a cross. The Romans, that's what they did. They were really good at killing people. They were really good at it. But as I was getting ready for that, I was driving to work, and I was thinking about it. I'm going, all right, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about that. Lord, no. There's something else that happened that day that was way more important than us remembering. We need to remember the pain that Jesus went through for us. That is what today is about. We need to remember it. But today was about something else. Today was the breaking of the old covenant. Today, when he said, it is finished, the old covenant was finished. So how do you guys think about the old covenant? What is the old covenant? This is what's written. You will do it, or you're in trouble. The big thing is, what's the motivation? What's your motivation to do it? Fear of getting in trouble, right? When you went to elementary school or high school or whatever else, and you were late, what was your fear about being late or even not showing up? Punishment. I'm going to get in trouble. And that was the old covenant. This is the rules. You do this, or you're outside of my kingdom. Are the rules of the new covenant any different? No. The difference is our attitudes. Now we want to follow. How many of you had an instructor in college, high school, elementary school, or a friend or a mentor that you would do everything that you possibly could not to let that person down? You know what I'm talking about, right? It wasn't because they had authority over you that you did the things you did. You did the things you did for that person because you wanted them to be pleased with you. That's how it should be with bosses, right? That's how it should be with work. That's how it should be with school. That's how it should be with our God. I'm telling you right now, you want to see what people put as important in their life? Check out, where do they spend their time and where do they spend their money? Are they spending money for the kingdom or are they spending money for themselves? Are they spending time with the kingdom or are they spending time for themselves? Do we have an affair with God on Sunday morning and spend the rest of our time with our mistress, the earth, the rest of the week? These are the questions that we have to ask. The new covenant through grace gave us that. It gave us that ability to make a choice. You could choose which direction you were going to go. So just kind of talking about why the cross? Why did Jesus have to die on a cross to usher in this new covenant? When somebody sinned, they had to, prior to Jesus dying on the cross, they had to get a sin offering, an animal, without blemish. And that's the important part right there. Without blemish. Jesus was without blemish. He was without sin when he went to that cross. He was beaten within an inch of his life. Every drop of blood that fell was blood for our sins. He took them all. He took them all for us. But there was another reason why he was beaten within an inch of his life. When he went up on that cross, then they took his hands, stretched them out, and it's unclear whether the nail went through his palm or it went through right between the two bones in his wrist, the radius and ulna. It's unclear in history where that is. The Romans did it both ways. It's unclear where exactly the nails went in his feet, whether they were one on top of the other and on a block and with one nail going through, or whether it was side by side with a nail going through the heel bone on both sides to hold him on the cross. It's unclear. That's really not sure. And again, see, this is why I wasn't going to talk about the pathophysiology too much. I'm looking around the room and some people are going, okay, I've had enough of that. If you want to see more of it, watch Passion of the Christ. It's incredible. You got to read a lot of subtitles, but I recommend if anybody has not seen that movie as a Christian, they need to see that movie at least once. It's a hard movie to watch. Very difficult. But here's the thing. When they sacrificed an animal without blemish, it atoned for their sins. Covered it up. You're good. You're good now. When Jesus died on that cross for us, it wasn't atonement, it was forgiveness. 100% forgiveness. That sin wasn't there anymore. The Bible says it's blotted out. He doesn't remember it. He doesn't want to remember it. Just like you don't want to let him down, he doesn't want to see back when you let him down. What an amazing God we have. Exodus 12:5. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from sheep or goats. He is the Lamb of God that took away our sins. Again, getting back to why he was within an inch of his life. So in order to survive on a cross, what you do is you have to, because your arms are outstretched, and your arms outstretched, really, that's where you die from. Okay, that's, if you hold your arms out like this long enough, after a while your ribs get tired enough, you can't expand anymore, and you suffocate. So it's death by suffocation is really how it ends up being. What the Romans used to do, if you didn't die fast enough, they'd hit you, your legs, with a club and break your legs so you could no longer push up to take that pressure off your chest so you could expand your lungs and breathe. Jesus couldn't have any broken bones or else he would have been a sheep with blemish. That's why he was beaten within an inch of his life before he was put on the cross. Him dying right before, and then they took a spear just to make sure he was dead, and water and a little bit of blood came out. And he was dead prior to. When that happened, the veil was torn. There was a great earthquake, and the veil was torn. Matthew 27:51, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earthquake, the rocks were split. Graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of their graves after his resurrection. They went to the holy city and appeared to many. The veil was torn. What was that veil? What was behind that veil? Holy of Holies. Who was allowed to go in there? Just the Levites. And just the certain ones were allowed to go in there to be in God's presence. What's the significance of being torn top to bottom? Man could not do it. God tore that from top to bottom and released himself from the Holy of Holies to come dwell inside of us as the Holy Spirit, as the Comforter that's been promised to us through Scripture. No longer do we have to have somebody go to the Holy of Holies and talk to the Lord for us. The Lord is in us if we accept Him, if we give our time, if we give what we feel is important to Him, then He is going to be with us and show us favor. That's the trade-off. We have a choice to make. We choose to be with Him or we choose not. When I was a teacher, one of the things that I noticed, I taught paramedics, and one of the things I noticed was everybody remembered their paramedic instructor. They either loved them or they hated them, and that's how it was. And what I wanted them to want to be in class. I didn't hold a rigid attendance policy, although I was supposed to, because the thought that I had, if I'm not important enough in their lives, they're going to fail anyways. So I didn't really need to keep a rigid attendance. They showed up on time, and most of them did. And here's the thing. The ones that showed up on time typically did good, unless they were faking it. If they were faking it, they didn't. How many people show up every Sunday for church, walk the walk on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week aren't walking the walk or talking the talk? They're faking it. They're coming here. Are they going to succeed? No, the Bible says they won't. If you're lukewarm, He will spit you out. So when you're walking the walk and talking the talk, you tend to succeed. Now, every once in a while, I had a student that really wanted to be there. They absolutely wanted to be there. They wanted to be there for the whole class, but something was blocking their way and they couldn't attend. Many times, those people would pass. Notice I didn't say all the time. Think about that as the parable of the sower, the casting of the seeds onto shallow ground. As soon as everything started to take root and there was the heat from the sun, they withered away. As soon as things started causing pressure, they withered away. That is what happens to Christians. I can't make it because of this. I know, I was 15 minutes late. I had this going on. I had that going on. They mean well. They keep going. And many of those people still succeed. But some will trail off and won't succeed. Because the distractions of this earth, the distractions of the devil, will pull them away. Because the devil is the Lord of this earth. And it'll pull them away. We have to support those people. We have to help those people. And then you have the ones that never show up and they never pass. They don't make it. I know that's just an analogy, but it's an analogy that works. Jesus was a teacher. He had a 3-year ministry that has lasted 2,000 years plus. We're still following Him. We are His disciples. You guys are here on a Friday night. You guys are doing the extras. You're not a Sunday morning Christian. But that's what it's all about. That's why He died on a cross for us, so that we would have a choice to follow Him. And He sent His advocate with the tearing of the veil. John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Good teachers advocate for their students, right? Good teachers go to bat for their students. Good teachers, when you have a bad day, will stand up and say, "This isn't them. I know their heart." Jesus is a good teacher. He's sitting in the throne room defending us, telling God, "They're having a bad day today." Or, "This is exactly what I was talking about. Look at this right here, what's going on." Jesus is our advocate in heaven. I was a teacher. I am sure that I would not go to a cross for my students for them to become paramedics. But Jesus went to the cross for us so that we could be with Him and join Him in heaven. That's what today is all about. It's all about His love. It's all about His grace. It's all about His mercy. It's all about His blood. It's all about His pain. And then after Friday, after they removed Him, after the veil was torn, they removed His body and Joseph of Arimathea, and He moved them into their family tomb. They rolled the stone and closed it. And then Saturday. Right now, it's easy for us, right? We know He rose. Imagine being one of His apostles and disciples then. Peter denied Him three times. They were looking for His disciples going, "Did you know Him? Did you?" They had to live on faith that day. We have to live on faith today. We're living on faith of what we've been told, what we have read, that book that we read called the Bible. We're living on faith every time we read that, and we believe, and we know. But it's a whole nother level on Silent Saturday. It's a whole nother level when the flesh that was just talking to you at the Last Supper saying, "I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise in 3 days." And they're sitting there going, "Really? How about doubting Thomas? I'll know when I stick my finger in his hands." That had to be a tough time for even his most devout followers. Imagine what Silent Saturday was. They're in mourning. It's their Sabbath. It was silent for a lot of reasons because the law said they couldn't do anything. They couldn't lift anything. I know Jesus healed a ton of people on the Sabbath day. Do you know Jesus wasn't resting on that Sabbath? He was not resting either. He declined into hell. He declined into the place of the dead. And He fought for us that day. And He took back those keys. So we don't have to go there so long as we believe in Him. Silent Saturday was a busy Saturday for Jesus Christ, our Savior. He took those laws and He said, "Would not one of you, if," and I can't remember which animal it was, "if your donkey fell into a pit, pull your donkey out of the pit." He healed the woman that was hunched over on the Sabbath, said, "I've released her from the devil." Wouldn't you release somebody from the devil on the Sabbath? He went down there and released us all from the devil on the Sabbath day. That's what He did. He was there for us. Matthew 12:40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He descended into hell and He fought for us. He fought for our salvation. And the day after, Mary found that stone rolled away. She walked up and she saw the stone rolled away. Who did Jesus tell at that point in time to spread the good news of the gospel? Because what is the good news of the gospel? The good news of the gospel is not that he died on the cross for us. It's he defeated death. And he rose again. And he didn't just rise again for him. He brought all kinds of other people that were asleep. They made appearances in the holy city after Jesus resurrected. He did that for us. That was the good news. He told Mary Magdalene, go tell Peter. Mary Magdalene was the first preacher of the good news after Jesus rose. As every good instructor does, he passed the mantle. Matthew 20:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am always with you to the very end of time. It's our turn to go out and be instructors. It's our turn to tell people about the good news. It's our turn to run and go tell Peter like Mary did. It's our turn to talk to people and make sure they have a choice to what's on their calendar, to where they're spending their money, to where they're putting their time. It's our time to do that. As we close out the evening, thinking about what Jesus did for us today, that unblemished lamb that allowed himself to be beaten within an inch of his life. He didn't fight back. He didn't fight back at all. And for 3 years, he acted as an example and as a teacher and taught the apostles, who then went forth and continued to teach others. The Bible says we are all disciples. And so as we go home today, just reflect. Reflect on the sacrifice. As we go through Silent Saturday tomorrow, Jesus was the Passover lamb that died for our sins. On Saturday, he stole back the keys, and on Sunday, he rose again, just like the book said he would. And on Sunday, as we sit back and remembering it's not about the bunny. It's not about the Easter eggs. It's not about any of those things. It's about what Jesus did for us. But mostly, it's about that he defeated death. Lord, if they haven't given themselves completely to you, Lord, give them the choice. And let them make the choice. And Lord, give us strength and determination to go and speak the word of God to as many people as humanly possible. Let us spread this message across the planet. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for listening to another Blessed Winds Bible Message podcast. You can find us on all the podcast sites. You can also find us on YouTube. We'll see y'all in 2 weeks. Have a blessed 2 weeks.